California and Red Clay, Georgia.
What's up, everybody? Today is December 15th, 2020. This is A Talk in the Attic, which means I'm your host, Kirk Ross. I feel like it's been a while since we really talked, you know? We've been so busy finishing up the studio that I haven't even had the chance to share my recent health scare with y'all. Last week, in the midst of the Gary V hoopla, which was ultimately rescheduled on the day of the event to some future time, I began smelling a strong maple syrup odor, especially so whenever I was in the bathroom, specifically when I was urinating. For the first half of the day that I recognized it, I simply chalked it up to some unseen scented candle or maybe a culinary journey that was unfolding in the kitchen with Jessica, who knows. My nose was being filled up with the naturally delicious, sweet, sweet smells of maple syrup after all, so I wasn't exactly mad about it. But by the end of the first day, it had become clear that you can get too much of a good thing, namely, smelling maple syrup all day had run its course. It had also become evident that this maple odor, by then it had become more of a maple stench, really. Whatever it was emanating from yours truly. That's right, it was I who was putting off this overwhelmingly fragrant maple stench all day. In bygone eras, the sudden onset of such a symptom might have been cause for a waning concern, before forgetting about it completely, or until the next time you ran into your doctor friend. By the way, your doctor friend doesn't want to hear anything about what's going on in your personal health. She's a radiologist, dude. What's she going to know about your bunion? But instead of annoying our doctor friend straight away, we now have the luxury of working ourselves into a lather with something as quick and simple as five little letters typed into our address bars. W-E-B-M-D. WebMD. What a terrifying place it is to hang out, WebMD, right? Who was there by my side when that terrible case of hot tub folliculitis hinted that it might be HIV? WebMD. Who was there when I woke up late on my second Friday of my internship of my junior year of college and needed a solid reason as to why? Well, WebMD, of course. Who taught me everything I needed to know about TMJ, including all of the key symptoms that found their way into my emailed excuse about being late. I remember one of my coworkers saying that day,
"For a guy with lotcha, you sure talk a lot."
Which reminds me, WebMD can show you the way, but you'll have to at least pretend to have some of the symptoms if you expect to get away with the fastest onset and quickest cure TMJ in human history. But last week, I decided to head to our favorite online physician, WebMD, for a real reason. I entered their symptom checker portal and immediately typed in maple syrup odor. I didn't really expect to find anything. But my heart sank as literature for the aptly named maple syrup urine disease filled up my screen. First off, maple syrup urine disease? That's what it's called? Secondly, are there any negative symptoms associated with maple syrup urine disease, or are they all this delicious? Let's see here. Nothing too bad, just erratic behavior, mood swings, anemia, diarrhea, pancreatitis, seizures, and coma? Holy smokes, that's a scary list. I didn't even know coma was a symptom, but it is, at least for maple syrup urine disease. And how was I so unlucky to have contracted this metabolic disorder at the age of 36 when it typically only affects infants? Later on, I explained to Jessica that I was pretty sure I had the sweet-smelling, but ultimately coma-inducing MSUD. We allowed ourselves one last night of pretending we were just normal, healthy people. Tomorrow we'd get up and make an action plan for our future as a couple living with maple syrup urine disease, but for that one night, we were just Kirk and Jessica. We laughed, we talked about the good times, we avoided looking ahead, and when it was finally time for bed, we headed to our room and undressed from our day's clothes. As I sat down on the bed to pull off my pants, I noticed a couple of things. One, the bed was kind of wet where I was sitting, and two, there was a big spot of dried debris on the seat of my jeans. It took but a few nanoseconds for me to put it all together. The wet bed, the stained pants, the maple syrup urine disease diagnosis, it all came rushing back to me and hit me in a wave of discovery. Because the night prior, after skipping meals all day in lieu of attic progress, I had cooked up a piping hot bowl of Quaker maple syrup and brown sugar instant oatmeal for a bedtime snack. And then I had spilled half of that bowl onto the edge of our bed. And then I was too tired to tell Jess, too tired to change the sheet, so I simply brushed whatever I could into the empty bowl, inched my way towards the middle of the mattress, and fell asleep. So when I woke up the next morning, I must have sat down on the bed with my fresh undies, my fresh pants, and in doing so, created my most delicious-smelling misdiagnosis to date. There are so many lessons in this one, aren't there? First, maybe avoid scalding hot oatmeal in the bedroom. I know it sounds sexy, but in practice, it's a bit gross. Second, beware of jumping to medical diagnoses after just a half day of symptoms, especially if you haven't checked your pants for food remnants. And finally, don't ignore little problems, or they'll grow into bigger ones. I spilled a little bit of oatmeal, nothing major at all. Would have taken but a couple minutes tops to clean it up. Instead, I ignored it. And I'll regret my decision to ignore that spilled oatmeal until the day I die. Which probably won't be long now that I'm living with maple syrup urine disease. Look, I don't mean to make light of health concerns. That story really did unfold like that, so I told it with a little bit of extra drama to put you in my shoes, which, by the way, might have had a little oatmeal in them as well. We all know people in our lives actually struggling with real health issues. I know a great number. I won't name them all right now, but I do have to send some special love out to my dear friends Magic Hands and the original Big Cat. Godspeed, gentlemen. Much love. We got your back. I need to express gratitude to the Michigan Podcasting Network for their support and to Joe Gentleman for the theme song up top. Joe will be playing a set in the newly minted Attic Studio next week when he's in town from LA. So excited to hear how it sounds up here in this fully acoustically treated space. By the way, I'm sure Joe and I will have an opportunity to brainstorm about the new theme song for season 2 as well. So looking forward to that. The body of today's show will lay out an idea for the future, an idea that's interactive. So let's get into that. But first, let's start the show.
Daisies blooming, sundress swaying in the breeze. I can't stop staring. You've put a spell on me, and I hope decide to set me free.
That was the song Better Than Two by Vistance, an artist I licensed through my Soundstripe account. I've linked to Vistance through their Spotify in the show notes, so go check that out. Okay, now let me lay the groundwork for what I'm about to ask of you. It's been crazy busy around here. No complaints, as it's been a lot of fun designing and finishing up the attic. But until we finally finished it this past weekend, it was constantly in a state of flux. Moving stuff around, throwing drop cloths over all the electronics, transferring furniture and rugs and tools from the attic to downstairs and vice versa. Stressful. So we were glad to finally relax up here this past weekend. And I thought to myself, as it pertains to the show, Tuesdays will be a breeze now. I can just wake up, go right to my desk from thestandingdesk.com and start writing. Won't have to step over tools or boards. Nothing between me and an episode but a little writing. Right? Or so I thought, because it turns out that today has proven as significant a case of writer's block as I've ever had. Of course, writer's block is just an excuse that we tell ourselves when we're struggling to get into a creative flow. Every idea that comes to mind gets pounded back down by that little voice inside of us that tells us maybe we're imposters, or that we're not funny, or that no one would really miss anything if we didn't release an episode today. You see, as it turns out, the chaotic nature of constantly setting up and tearing down the studio had become the environment in which I myself could naturally get into the flow state. Today's lack of hurdles has become, in and of itself, a hurdle. And desperate times call for desperate measures. So I called my friend Zach, who worked with me on the phone trying to break something loose by bringing up old acquaintances and other such artifacts that might jog my flow. It wasn't really going anywhere, to be honest. Sorry, brother. But that's when lightning struck, because suddenly I had a no-caller ID incoming call. I told Zach, dude, I've got this no-caller ID number that keeps calling me. Answer it! There's your show. Whoever it is, whatever he or she says you should do your show on, there you go. That's your show, Zach implored. It was a pitch reminiscent of the Seinfeld storyline in which George tells the execs of NBC that their show is truly about nothing. Before I could even answer the phone, no caller ID had hung up. Damn, I thought. I was in enough of a rut to actually go for this concept, too. As I bemoaned yet another idea that had slipped through my fingertips, no caller ID popped up again. And this time, I answered and answered quick. Whoever was on the other end of this no-caller ID was about to be my ideas man. No ID? That's fine, as long as you got an idea, I said. And to my pleasant surprise, no-caller ID turned out to be John Snacks Matthews, the American King of Copenhagen himself. And thank goodness it was him and not some faceless recording talking about my car warranty expiring. That would have made a tough topic to build into a worthwhile episode, right? Instead, I got the real-life, living-and-breathing John Matthews, star of Episode 9, which I've linked to in the show notes as well. Go listen to what John's all about when you have time. I explained to the friend of the program and first official Atita board member to sign up and support the show on Patreon that the show was in his hands today, that I could think of no one better than he to entrust with such a responsibility. And this wasn't the first time John has just happened to crop up when I least expect him. Once, back in 2009, my friends Gene and Nick and I were bowling at an Aquinas College softball fundraiser, about as cool as it sounds, when we spotted a familiar face dealing cards at a bowling alley sanctioned Texas Hold'em poker tournament. Complete with one of those green, translucent dealer hats from yesteryear sat John Effing Matthews, the man nicknamed Snacks for his love of corn chips. And here he was spending the weekends with poker chips now, too. Maybe chips would have been a better moniker for John. Or better yet, Chip. About 25% of you will know exactly why it's funny to think of John going by the name Chip. The rest of you will just have to trust us. It's funny. So I'm on the phone with Chip this afternoon when he explains with clarity that he wants to see an advice show, one where real listeners send in real questions about anything under the sun, and I reply with real answers, with real advice sometimes. Of course, Chip still wants me to work jokes into the real advice, so I'll work to strike the right balance there. The issue, though, is that this will require real engagement from you, the viewers and listeners, so help me out here. If you can hear this now, then here's what I need from you. If you're okay with the public question, then simply leave a comment on Facebook or Instagram under this particular episode's show art. That's episode 83. Just comment right underneath here. YouTube is a great place to comment too, especially if you're that Russian-owned porn bot that likes to comment on my videos within the first minute of each one being released. If you've got something a little more private, or if you just prefer it this way, you can always email me at atalkintheattic@gmail.com. That's atalkintheattic@gmail.com. Hit me with some questions. I consider myself a sort of jack of all trades, and in the areas in which I lack expertise, I'm happy to hide behind aggressive hubris and bluster. In other words, you can't lose. So help me make this happen this week. If you want to know something about the attic space itself, then simply ask. If you're interested in the business side of podcasting, then ask that. If you want to know how to tell a nosy coworker to back the fuck up, then hit me up with all the details and I'll put together a custom response just for you and Ron from the neighboring office. So please write to the show. In fact, I'm ending this week's episode a little bit early for the express purpose of giving you a few extra minutes to fulfill my request for input. These questions or suggestions or recommendations, they'll help spur next week and future episode discussion points. And then together as a community, we'll learn about whatever we dive into each week. And then together as we learn, we'll grow. And at the end of the day, helping the Talk in the Attic community grow is far more important than growing the Talk in the Attic community. Thanks for sticking with me so deep into this project. You've really helped restore a positive outlook on the importance of chasing your passions, for me at least. And I don't want to say chasing. The importance of catching your passions and making them your reality. I can't thank you enough. Stay tuned for a big couple of weeks as we head into the holidays. Jessica and I are working on a Christmas cookie special in which we produce a special episode of A Talk in the Attic where we talk shit, listen to music, and decorate this year's Christmas goodies. That'll drop on or before Christmas, so keep your eyes peeled for that. But remember, your real homework here, what I really need of you, is to engage with the show. Help me get some material and topic ideas from those of you who actually listen to the show. Look, it's your podcast just as much as it is mine. So let's collaborate accordingly, people. I'm going to play you out with a catchy, chill wave tune by Glaswing. Another Soundstripe find. This song, by the way, is the perfect backing track to your commenting and emailing the show, in fact. All right. I've said it enough. You get the point. Have a good one, everybody. Peace out, y'all.
I'm running toward you. I'm running toward you. I'm coming for you, love. I'm running toward you, I'm coming for your love.